to vote on Tuesday. Please stand for our gospel reading. Our gospel today, it comes from Matthew's gospel, the Beatitudes. We're going to read the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. And if you're listening to our worship service on the radio, I just want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in. We're aware that you're there. I say this a lot, but you would be surprised at how many people are actually listening to our worship service who are worshiping with us. They're not here. They're around the radio, and we just thank you for being with us. Our gospel is, again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, and this is a gospel specifically for this celebration of All Saints Sunday. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. And let us pray. May our loving God, we thank you for this day. I ask that you would bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit working in and through us, coupled with your holy gospel that we just proclaimed, would stir our hearts to want to follow you more closely, to want to reflect the light of your glorious love and mercy to everyone we meet this day. I pray your blessings upon us right now. And I ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, thanks for being here, everybody. What a wonderful day. I love All Saints Sunday. This celebration goes way back to the early church, back to 379. A bishop named Polycarp first celebrated All Saints Day. Polycarp was a bishop of Antioch. If you remember in the Acts of the Apostles, Antioch is the place where they first called followers of Christ Christian. Antioch. And St. Polycarp wanted to celebrate and commemorate and to honor all of the men and women who died, were martyred for the faith. You see, for the first 313 years of Christianity, it was illegal to be a Christian. It was a capital crime, punishable by death. And in 313, Constantine legalized Christianity. Constantine's mother was Helena. Helena built the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the first known church that ever was built, known to Christianity, was built in Bethlehem by Helena. Her son, Constantine, finally came around to the faith. He called her all kinds of names at first. The same with St. Monica, Augustine's mother. They were kind of contemporaries. So Christianity was legalized after 313. Polycarp in 379 said, "You know what? We really need to honor all the people who struggled so hard to give us a faith that is so blessed, so we're so privileged to celebrate." And you can kind of see that. It's a real gift. We have the freedom of religion here in our country. We can celebrate our faith here in the United States of America. Not every country is like that. And so that's where All Saints comes from. It was not only to remember the big hitters, you know, the saints like Peter and Paul and James and John, St. Lucy, you know, all the Saint Mary, Jesus' mother, but really it was designed, it was promulgated to remember the men and women who were pretty much unnamed. And that's why in the year 850, it was Gregory the Fourth who he was dedicating a side chapel at St. Peter's Basilica. He decided to call it All Saints Chapel, and he moved the feast from May 13th to November 1st, and that was in 850. And we've been celebrating All Saints Day, Catholics, Protestants alike, all from then. Martin Luther, during the Reformation, he wanted to use All Saints Day as a way to bring unity to the different denominations, to the different Christian fellowships, that all the saints are in heaven singing praise to God. And that is really a beautiful gift that we've been given from the church to remember the men and women who have gone before us. Yes, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Joseph, all the power hitters, but also your parents, my parents. Your grand, you know what, our great grand, people that we know and remember who get no recognition, who simply live their faith out quietly, faithfully. Sunday school teachers, coaches, people who took us aside and said, Mike, you're going down the wrong road. God's got more for you. Those people that I mean, people that you know. And that's the beautiful thing about All Saints Day. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the book, the classic John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress. A Pilgrim's Progress is the name of the book. It's a great old classic book. I've got it on the digital copy. I've given the print copy that I had away, but it's called A Pilgrim's Progress. And in that book, we're introduced right off the bat to two main characters. One is named Christian, and the other is named Hopeful. Christian and Hopeful. They were drawing near to the end of their life, and the whole is an allegory. They came close to the river of death. And as they're drawing near to the river of death, they're wondering how they're going to get to the other side when they're met by two shining figures. Two shining figures, and their faces are like gold shining in the sun. And their face and their lives are just a radiant beam, like a very bright spotlight. And these two radiant figures help them as they emerge through the river of death into the celestial city. They're escorted by these two shiny figures. And the reader is tempted to think they must be angels. But they're not angels. They're saints. They're saints who are God's shining lights in this world of darkness and sin, who lead Christian and Hopeful into the other side of eternity. And I love that vivid image of the saints like a shining light. And that is who we are called to be. We are all called to be a shining example, a shining light in our world, and here on Mitkoff Island, to shine the light of God's love in our life to a world that seems so dark and so full of sin. And so this picture in the first reading, excuse me for being so excited, I can just see all, John has this vision. John is the gospel writer. He's right up there. I think he's the one in the middle in the blue. I think that's John. James is the bald head guy. Thank you, James. Peter's the one on the far left. I think James is in the middle, if you were to ask me. James was exiled to Patmos Island. And this is written, the Revelation was written about 95 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So James wrote this, but he has a vision, a series of visions. He's writing about this vision of heaven that he has. And all the saints are around the throne, this glorious, radiant sunshine. And you see this radiant, shining light in heaven in a community setting. It's all of us together. It's the assembly of the people, which is so important. And as they're all shouting their praise to God, I can almost feel the foundation of heaven shaking. Have you ever been to a football game or to a baseball game? When we went back to St. Louis a couple years ago, went to Busch Stadium, took my wife Ying to Busch Stadium, and when the home team hits a home run, big old fireworks go off, and everybody stands up and cheers and shouts in unison. We're celebrating. And I mean, the whole stadium is shaking. Has anybody been to a Seahawks game? Seahawks game. Yes, they are known throughout the whole National Football League of being the loudest stadium in the NFL. And you get that sense when I was down, we were down at my brother's house in Eugene. The Oregon Ducks were playing. It was a home game. That we were watching them on TV. When they score a touchdown, a big, massive foghorn goes off. The whole stadium cheers and shouts. And I noticed I was listening to this on TV. But then you could also hear it. My brother lives a mile away. You could hear the cheers and the foghorn. And that sense of the whole stadium is shaking. That's the sense I get when I read about Revelation and this vision John has of the community aspect being a radiant light in God's splendor and God's glory. And then you take it to the next reading, that beautiful second reading from 1 John chapter 3. In that second reading, we can see that John is narrowing it down. Instead of the community aspect, it's each and every one of us. Do you not know that you're a child of God? Look what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And then he says, and that is what you are. In case you're like, okay, we're children of God. I know she's a child of God, and I know he's a child of God, but I don't know about me. And that's when he says, no, I'm talking about you. You and you and each and every one of us is a child of God, beloved in God's eyes. And we are called, we call to mind this day the men and women who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, grandparents, parents, teachers, coaches, again, people who have taken the time to share the light of God's love with each and every single one of us. And so we're surrounded, you get the sense, by a great cloud of witnesses. And I'm so blessed. I look at the windows, and these are people's names on the windows who love the Lord, who wanted to create a sanctuary, a space where we could all join with the saints in heaven. The angels were created. That's in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, people who witness to the faith. Remember, the word witness in the Greek is martyr. And the only way to be a saint was you had to die for the faith. That was the criteria in the early church. They kind of lightened up on their requirements. You don't have to be killed for the faith now to be a canonized saint in the Catholic world. But nevertheless, Paul talks about all of us as saints, people who are called to allow the light of God's love and mercy to shine from us to other people so that God can use us to inspire others. And then our gospel, today's gospel, is a call to remember to be radiant even in the struggles of life, even in the difficulty of life, even in when we're tried, we're going through temptations, when we're going through trials and tribulations. And that's where Jesus says at the end of the Beatitudes, how blessed are all of you who are persecuted, who are reviled, who are made fun of because you're associated with me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. And that is so beautiful to remember that there are struggles in life, that all of us go through struggles, but we don't give up, we don't give in, especially when it looks hopeless. There is one who has all hope, and that's what John is talking about in that second reading, that when Christ comes again in glory, we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. And this is the hope that we hang on to, the hope. There is a living hope, St. Peter talks about, a living hope that we don't give in, that we then are signs of God's unconditional love to other people. And I pray that God might, that other people might see God's saving power in your life and in our life, that we have been inspired by the saints in glory, the men and women who have gone before us, and then we leave here and we go and be an inspiration to other people who are hurting, who are downcast, who are lonely, who are depressed. I quoted G.K. Chesterton about 3 weeks ago. I love this quote. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. And so we are called to not give up. And that's really what All Saints Day is all about. So here I am to encourage all of you to keep pushing on in your faith. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in to doubt or discouragement. And really, I think that's a powerful message because I can just see John, the gospel writer, who has this revelation. He's on Patmos Island. And just think about John. He's been following Christ since he was a teenager. He was one of the first to go to the tomb. Remember at the resurrection? Him and Peter went to the tomb. John looked in, Peter went in, Peter came out scratching his head, and John says he saw the garments and he believed. John believed right away. He gave his whole life to following Christ and to being a witness to Christ. And now he's exiled on a deserted island with other criminals, and I'm sure he's wondering, did I make a mistake? Was my witness for nothing? I mean, I had these visions of preaching in Rome to great crowds, and here I am breaking rocks all day under the hot sun. What is this all about? I love that aspect of Revelation. And you get a sense that that's where John's coming from. And it's as if God is encouraging him. Don't give up. Your witness does matter. Your faith does matter. It touches people you'll never know. And in heaven, it's not just going to be a few people sitting around a table. It's going to be packed, full, more people than you could ever count or imagine. And that all boils down to you and me here. And sometimes we do. We just wonder. We put our hand, scratch our head. Does it matter? I mean, it does matter. Don't give in. Please don't give up. One of the blessed gifts of being a pastor, and of course, you know, I was for 10 years a priest from Metlakatla to Yakutat. I was all over Southeast Alaska. One of the most precious gifts is to sit at the bedside of somebody who's dying. It's just incredible to pray with people. I remember a guy in Wrangell. Just lived in a little bitty church. He had such a faith. I mean, he was so grateful. I mean, he was in it way up in his 80s. He was ready to go. But the way he would just thank the Lord. I mean, he was just so thankful. And that's what really touched me. That people, no matter what, there are people who are going through things and they don't give up. And that's the word for today. There is hope. The word for today is hope. Please don't give in. Don't give up. God loves you. God knows you. God has a plan for you in your life. And God's plan for you, God's plan for me, is to give us a future full of hope if we would just persevere and learn to follow the people who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us into a living hope. We give you right now, Lord. We lay down before you our doubts, our fears, our concerns. We ask you to forgive us for the times we want to give up hope. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. I pray that you would seal the good work you've begun in each one of us and bring it to completion. And I pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.